Well, this morning we're going to talk about spiritual warfare and the gospel armor. It's something we've been talking about for the last week or two, and of course we're in a battle each and every day, and the battle gets more intense as the coming of Jesus comes closer. The battle gets more intense, and Satan tries to rip the kingdom of God out of our hand and rip the kingdom out of everyone's hand, the salvation, their gifts, everything that God has given them. Satan will try to steal it from us. And so we are in a battle, brothers and sisters, and it's a battle to the death, I guess you would say. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life, but if you don't, you have eternal death. And so this is a matter of life and death. This is a battle to the end, and it will be culminating in the end time battle, the tribulation spoken of in the book of Revelation, Battle of Armageddon, and all of these things are starting to unfold before our very eyes, and they're starting to unfold in a most dramatic way. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, famine and pestilence is on the way here. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you get your feet on the rock, and that's my purpose, is to bring the message, the good news, the hope that does not disappoint to this area and into the prison, the hope that does not disappoint, the hope in Jesus Christ, so that we'll be ready each and every day for the battle, and we'll be ready for whatever Satan tries to bring our way or whatever circumstances God allows into our life. We'll be ready, and we'll come out victorious in the battle that we are entering into. We're going to start off with a word of prayer today and then go into our teaching time. So if you have your Bible there, grab your Bible, turn it to Ephesians 6, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's start off with a prayer to bless this time together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you today. We thank you for your son Jesus, who died on the cross, that shed his blood, for the blood that he shed for us for healing, the blood for salvation. And through his blood, Lord, we are set free. We are set free for all eternity. And we just praise your name for that, Lord. We praise your name for the mighty plan of salvation that you put in place when you took your own son and you offered him up as a sacrifice on that cross. Lord, we pray for those out there listening today who are burdened down with sickness or with shame or guilt or addictions or depression. Lord, we just pray for those that need to be set free. Lord, we pray your word would pierce their hearts and set them free today. Lord, your word is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we pray, Lord, that your word will just cut and pierce today. The people listening will feel a sense of freedom. They'll feel a sense of victory just by listening to your word as you would have it, as you would declare it. Lord, we pray for those in the prison. We ask you to bless them, bless their families, bless the visits today. We pray for the children, especially those out there, and the separation felt by those behind the fence and also those on the outside. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to come in and comfort those who are lonely, who feel a sense of desperation, of a sense of despair. We ask you to bless them and be with them and comfort them. Lord, we pray for those in the military. We ask you to bless them, keep them out of harm's way. Lord, watch over them, protect them. We pray for victory in Afghanistan, that we can bring that war to a conclusion and bring our troops home. Lord, we pray for our president. Ask you to bless him and protect him. Pray for the Congress, the Supreme Court. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation would settle on those men and women, as the decisions they make will have profound impact on us here in this country. We just pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would be upon them. Lord, we thank you that you are watching over this nation. Lord, we cry out for mercy for this nation. Lord, we ask you to withhold your hand of judgment on this nation, Lord. We pray for a reverse of Roe v. Wade, Lord, that allows free abortions and unrestricted abortions here in this country. We pray that you would reverse that. Would you make a way for that decision to come back before the Supreme Court and to be reversed? Lord, we pray for strong leaders. We pray for Norton to be a city of refuge. We pray for strong leaders and churches, that they would stand up and stand up for the truth of the gospel. We pray for fathers to stand up and lead their families, to be men of God, men of integrity and character. And we pray for women to stand up and be women of God, and pray for them to be women of integrity and character also. We just thank you, Lord, for this radio airtime, this time that we have to be with you, to fellowship with you, to study your word, to seek you and seek your message for our life, seek your divine declared vision for our life. And we just pray that we can walk into that divine declared vision. We pray that we can walk into it and bring glory to you, Lord, through our life. We thank you again for this time. We pray it in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rao, and we're talking about the gospel armor this morning, spiritual warfare. So if you have your Bibles there, turn it to Ephesians 6. And, of course, this is the famous passage of Scripture where Paul talks about our battle, our spiritual battle. And I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and then we'll go back and divide it and dissect it verse by verse and piece by piece. Starting in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Then in verse 14, it starts with the listing of the pieces of the gospel armor. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then Paul goes on to say, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And of course, Paul was in prison at the time that he wrote this, and that's what he's talking about there. That's the reference to the ambassador in chains. Well, we talked about last week the different demonic forces, the hierarchy of the demonic kingdom that Paul talked about in verse 12, powers, principalities, rulers of darkness or world forces of this darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I don't know that there's any particular order or power order to those different references of different entities there, but all of them, you can be assured, brother and sister, are aligned against us, and all of them Satan uses to bring us down, to tear us apart from our families, from our churches, to try to divide. And that's Satan's plan, is to try to divide. He's tried to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life abundantly. And so we have two opposing forces here, one of which is to destroy and to kill and steal from us, and the other is to give us life not only here on this earth, but life abundantly in eternity with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so there's a battle royal going on. You may not realize you're in the battle. You may not understand it. If you're a Christian, you probably don't understand, or if you're a Christian, you do understand it or have some notion about the battle, although you may not understand it in its totality. If you are not a Christian, I would dare say that your understanding of it would be very shallow, and you are looking to the world for solutions to help you just get through your daily life, and you really don't understand it in terms of a battle between darkness and light, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And so if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit and the counsel of God to lead you into the truth in all things. Jesus tells us in John 16:13 that the Comforter, the Spirit of God, will lead us into the truth of all things, even those things yet to come. And so we are able to know ahead of time, even before those things come upon us, what skirmishes we're going to be in, what battle lines are drawn, and who our enemies are and who our allies are. And so in this battle, God has given us a potent surveillance asset, and that is the Holy Spirit, who can counsel us and give us wisdom and let us know what's happening even beyond our human wisdom and our human knowledge to know what is happening. Well, let's look at the individual pieces of the gospel armor, and Paul starts in verse 14 talking about the individual pieces, and he says here, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." And of course, each and every one of these pieces is a picture of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of these pieces, you could say, is Jesus. And so we clothe ourselves with him when we're baptized. We clothe ourselves with him. We put on Jesus Christ, and we know that he is our covering. He is our, not only our redemption, he is our strength, and he is our covering. And so we clothe ourselves with him, and the first piece of clothing to go on is to gird our loins with truth. And Jesus is truth. He says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so Jesus Christ declares himself to be truth. He says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And he says that the truth will set you free. In John 8:32, he says, "The truth will set you free." And he was talking about the truth of his word, the truth of his life, the truth of his testimony, the truth of his blood atonement, all of these things. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so we gird our loins, we protect our loins with the girdle of truth. And it is primarily, brothers and sisters, to cover our loins, the reproductive area of our body, because many times Satan uses sexual immorality. Maybe many times Satan uses perversion in our thought life, in our sexual life, to gain entry into our life and destroy our family, destroy churches. There's many pastors, according to some studies that I've seen, many pastors this day that are addicted to pornography because they have the computers right there in their office, as everybody does nowadays. And so even in the church, the leadership of the church, Satan makes inroads, and he tries to tear apart churches, and he tries to tear apart the leadership by sexual immorality. It's one of the main ways. And this goes back to the pillars and the foundation of God's creation. God, the first command he ever gave to Adam was to multiply and fill the earth. And that was from Genesis 1. He said, "Go and multiply and fill the earth." God created Adam and Eve in his own image. And he said to go and multiply. And so the pillar, the foundation of God's creation, is that we multiply, that we reproduce ourselves. And that is God's will, that we replenish and fill the earth. And I don't think God's too worried about overpopulation here. And he gave that instruction to Adam. And God, at the right time, will end that replenishment. God will end that reproduction at the right time. I suppose when God feels like the earth is too overpopulated, or whatever, from man's point of view, we would call it. But God has his prophetic timetable. And in that timetable, he will declare when it is time to call this life here on earth to an end, and he will replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm sure God has a much better plan for the earth right now than what we have for it as human beings. And so we cover our loins with the gospel of truth to protect ourselves from sexual immorality, homosexuality, perversion, all of these things, incest, that have become commonplace in man. And it is God's will that we be chaste, that we be pure, not only in our thought life, but also in our actions. And so we cover our reproductive areas with the gospel of truth, so that the truth of Jesus Christ is displayed and exemplified through our sexual activity and through our chastity, whether we're married or single or a teenager or a widower, or whatever situation you find yourself in life, that your sexual life be chaste and pure. So each and every day, gird your loins and protect your sexual organs, your reproductive organs, with the gospel of truth. Well, the second piece of armor that we put on is the breastplate of righteousness. God calls us to be righteous people. The breastplate covers the internal organs, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys. Usually was a two-piece of armor that strapped on the front and the back and covered all the vital organs, and primarily the heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, when they asked Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to the young man, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so, therefore, Jesus wants us to have a pure heart so that we can love God with a pure heart. He wants us to commit our hearts to Him and not hold anything back. He wants us to commit all of our love to Him. And so love is the keystone, the cornerstone of a Christian's walk. And out of the heart come the evil issues of life, and also out of the heart come love. We know as we look around and we see what's going on in the world, you can tell by whether a person is a Christian or not, by the love that they show for other people, that you know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit starts with love. Love, joy, peace, patience, etc. And so there's nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, and or fruits of the Spirit, and the first one listed is love. And so love is the hallmark of a Christian's walk. In Matthew 15:18, Jesus talks about the heart, and he says to the Pharisees there, the things that proceed out of the mouth the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and these are what defile the man. He'd earlier said in verse 11, it's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man. In other words, it's not what we eat that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the man mouth, this is what defiles the man. And so Jesus basically declared all foods clean, and he was saying that it's not what we eat that causes us to be defiled, it's what comes out of our heart. And it says, verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. And so out of the heart come these things that manifest themselves as sin and sinful behavior and destructive behavior. And so Jesus said, if you want to clean up your behavior, if you want to clean up your life, you got to start with the heart. You got to start where the evilness resides, where it has set up. And so Jesus said, you got to cleanse your heart. And so the breastplate of righteousness covers our heart. And you know, we sometimes talk about the heart transplant, and we don't have a heart to do a job, or we have a broken heart, and the heart is the vital organ in the body. It's an organ that, of course, pumps the blood to every little cell and every little part of the body. But even more than that, the heart represents passion. It represents desire. It represents motivation. And when we have an evil heart, things that ordinarily would be good in our life, they get perverted. When we have an evil heart, we struggle with addictions. We struggle with pornography. We struggle with all of these perversions of God's will in our life. And so Jesus said, clean up your heart. And so we put on the breastplate of righteousness so that we can be a holy priest, as God calls us to be. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter said, you are a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a chosen generation. And so God calls us to be righteous. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be children just like Him. He says, and Paul says it this way in Romans 8:29, that those that He foreknew, those that God foreknew, which is all of us, God foreknew us before we were born. He says, those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so God's will is that we become like Jesus, who was holy. We become righteous like Jesus. We become sanctified, which is to say we are set aside. We're not going to look like the world. And out of our heart must come pure thoughts. It must come love for our brothers. It must come forgiveness. It must come kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so when we have these things, we don't look like the world. We don't behave like the world. We forgive, and we don't carry around bitterness and anger and strife and contention. We look like Jesus Christ as we become more conformed to his image. Well, the third piece of gospel armor that we put on in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And of course, this speaks of a couple of things here. One is that we are be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ, that we are to be prepared at all times for his return. And I want to ask you today, brothers and sisters, if Jesus were to come back today, would you rejoice, or would you repent, or would you run? Which would you do? And God wants us to be ready. He says, watch and pray. And of course, we know the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins had the oil in their lamps and they were ready. And the foolish ones didn't have any oil. They let their oil run out. And so when Jesus came back, they weren't ready. When the bridegroom came back, they weren't ready. And God calls us to watch and pray and to be ready at all times for his return. And so we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to stay on our knees in prayer. We need to stay in Bible study. We need to stay in the fellowship. If you're not in a fellowship, I would encourage you in the strongest way to be in the fellowship, to seek a Bible-believing, God-fearing house of God, and get in it, stay in it, get active in the church, put your pride aside, and get in a fellowship somewhere where you can be encouraged and where you can be strengthened, where you can have accountability and prayer partners and just the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and be able to worship and praise with other brothers and sisters. And so we prepare for his coming. And we also prepare by putting the gospel of peace on our feet, the shoes of the gospel of peace. And God says that his peace is not of this world. John 14:27, Jesus declared, my peace isn't of this world. So you're not going to find peace in this world. And when you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, you're going to have peace that this world doesn't know. You're going to have peace beyond all understanding, a peace that passes all understanding. And Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you, not as the world gives, not as the world leaves, but as I give, therefore I give unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so God's peace takes fear out of our life. God's peace takes distress and dissension and strife out of our life. Everywhere you go as a child of God, as a Christian, you should leave peace behind you when you walk into a room. There should not be strife. There should be a settling of dissension and strife and contention in that room. And when you leave behind a conversation with a brother or sister, or even an enemy for that matter, you should leave behind peace. And as you go in your daily walk, there should be peace and understanding and compromise and love in your wake. And as you look back at where your shoes have gone, you should be able to see that you have brought glory to God through your conversations, through your behavior, through your activity. And as you do that, as you bring glory to God, then God's will be done not only in your life, but in the life of those that with whom you interact. And so you prepare and shod your feet with the gospel of peace, and then you take the message of gospel of peace to the nations. Blessed on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. And so God wants to bless your feet when you're carrying the good news. The Great Commission, in Matthew 28, Jesus said to the disciples, go unto all the world. Go unto all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all that I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I had a interesting and very touching experience a year ago when I was fasting. A prophetess lady called me from Georgia that I have never met and didn't really know much about her. I'd heard about her, and she prophesied over me for an hour and a half one day when I was out at the farm working. And she told me many events that are going to be happening in my future, not only personally but in ministry events, and many of them have already come to pass, and some are on the horizon right now. But she prayed over my feet for about 10 minutes that day, and she said, God wants your feet to be ready to go. God wants your feet to be shod and ready to go. And she prayed for the strength of my feet, that they would not ache, that they would not have pain, that they would be able to carry me through rough terrain or smooth terrain or uphills or mountains or valleys or through rivers or wherever God calls me. And brothers, sisters, I've been in places like that where I've gone through rivers, I've gone through rough terrain, mountains and valleys. And so God is calling me to take the gospel to all the nations, as he's calling each of us to do that. That is our commission, and he wants us to take the gospel of peace. And so she blessed my feet in the name of the Lord. She blessed them to carry the message to all the nations, to carry the message to the Quebecer people, to carry the message to Korea or to Australia or wherever God called me to go. He wants me to go there and have strong feet to carry me, and that is his desire for you also. And to put on the gospel of peace, to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Well, that's about all we're going to get through today because of time considerations, and we'll take up the rest of these pieces of the gospel armor next week. And I hope you're being blessed by these messages. I want you to meditate on these. Go back and study that sixth chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 10, and just think about each and every day when you get up that we're in a battle. You're in a battle for yourself, for your family, for this nation. And just prepare yourself for that battle. Ask the Lord to cover you up, to clothe you with the gospel armor, that you will be ready for the battle, that you will bring glory to him through your actions. You bring glory to him through your decisions, through your walk with the Lord. And you will go out into the battlefield and you will be victorious in the name of the Lord. Well, thanks for listening today. God bless you. We'll see you next week.